Yeah, been a day, honey? Is that...
It's gonna... Greetings, Apropos, and buckle up for the sex. it's the Apropos Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
Jenna.
Okay, it's gonna be a week. big things happening at work. Also, I'm going to be solo parenting most of this week alone.
Oh man.
My wife is going to be in Florida for most of the week on a business trip.
I was about to say, is this like a teacher's get together?
This is a teacher's thing that she is getting all expenses paid to Florida.
Ooh.
For the wow.
Week. Yeah.
Nice.
So she's going to be, you know, in Florida learning how to be a better teacher and sitting on the beach.
Oh, I want to learn how to be a better teacher on the beach.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Also, So she's learning how to be a better teacher and also on the beach, or she's learning how to be a better beach teacher.
My profession is beach.
You take the one that you want. And that
I want to be a beach teacher.
That is your truth, mm-hmm. Jenna.
You're a bit of a beach right now.
I'm always a bit of a beach.
Son of a bitch.
We're recording online, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're drinking.
We're drinking.
I'm sick as hell. So that's why we're recording online. I don't want to infect anybody with whatever the fuck is happening. I am drugged up on Dayquil for y'all motherfuckers. And I'm drinking a whiskey ginger.
Ooh.
Like, thing for my stomach. It's light on the whiskey, but it's still there to, like, you know, help kill the pain.
That's a good choice.
I was going to ask if you were drinking a Robitussin teeny.
Oh, I was going to say a Dayquilada.
Ooh, I like Dayquilada. If you like Dayquiladas. I mean, I can't have a pina colada, so.
No. You're allergic to both of those things.
Yes,
all of the above.
Yep. I am drinking Lawn Chair Cherry by Thirsty Pagan Brewing.
Mm.
Fantastic.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's their lawn chair lager that's cherry flavored. It's delicious.
Some lawn chairs?
Some lawn chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking Jinro Green Grape Soju. This is a flavor that we didn't get to try when we were going through the different soju options. But it's so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It tastes like the purple cans of Welch's concentrate, the Concord grape that you mix with like 3 cans of water and it makes juice. Do you remember these?
Yes.
Yeah. It tastes like that.
Like
this one's sweet. It's got a little more bite than that. It's not quite as like...
It's it tastes like poverty childhood.
Yeah, that's kind of what it tastes like. Like shitty, watery grape juice.
One, I love that grape juice. Two,
James, I like it too. It's still shitty.
Yeah.
Sure. I would say this tastes more like halfway between that and a white wine.
All right.
Okay. So it's kind of like if you mixed the Concord grape juice with 3 cans of Riesling instead.
Why would you do that to Riesling? What the fuck?
I want sparkling grape juice. So there's that.
Yeah.
You know what? Whatever works for you.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
you're having a week.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah, and I mean, it was a really good weekend too. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm only complaining or anything like that. I did have a fantastic weekend. We went and saw Cirque du Soleil.
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah. My wife got me tickets to the Cirque show for my birthday.
Aww.
It was amazing.
Aww.
It was, you know, took the kids. We told them, you're like, we're going to the circus, but it's not like the circus that we went to before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty different.
This is an artsy circus.
Yeah, there's no animals at this one, and it's all acrobatics and dancing.
It's extremely French.
Yeah, but they won't understand that part. But it was their Christmas show, you know, their 'Twas the Night Before Christmas themed.
Aww.
You know, so they had like their kind of dance troupe were like elves, and then their like tumblers were the reindeer. And like Santa was the juggler, and you know, like the star was one of the aerialists, you know.
Sure.
Things like that, you know.
Right.
And it was, you know, like the show started, and you know, they set the scene, and it was like, you know, here's this book, and the dad reads the book to the daughter every Christmas, but now she's a teenager and she's too old for that shit. And you know, that so that was like setting the scene. And then the two like male what are those called? The silks? Like the two guys coming out to do the silks came out, and I was bawling. And then I was just like, and this is the way I'm just gonna have a wet face for the next 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was gorgeous.
You know?
Yeah, it was so wonderful. Like the first two came out, they did just gorgeous, amazing, beautiful stuff. It's Cirque, you know.
Right.
Right.
The juggler came out and he was really, really good. I have a hard time watching jugglers in shows like this because I'm just so jaded.
I'm so spoiled. I am so juggler spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, they're we're going to do 9 balls. And I'm like, yeah, sure. All right.
Yeah.
Come on.
I have literally,
where's your 13 like, clubs, asshole?
Hung out with some of the best jugglers in the world and, you know, watched them do shows every year.
Yep.
And it's just like, this is, I've seen everything. I've seen it all.
Things.
You know? And so he came out and he was, I do not want to throw any shade on him whatsoever. He was great. He had a single drop in the whole piece, and it was the very last catch to his whole set. And he caught it on the bounce. So even his drop ended out
beautiful,
looking awesome and impressive and everything like that. He was really good. He did a great job. But I've seen it all. And I was just like, this doesn't move me the same way as
right.
normally.
What if he was juggling fire? No, wait. Still not going to impress you. Yeah.
I want to be very clear. He was fantastic. I don't want to make it sound like I'm throwing any shade. Because when the Diabloists came out, I had a similar reaction. It was just like, okay, we're going to get through this. And then the Diabloists started doing their thing. And it was like, yeah, no, they're very good at what they do, but I've seen all of this. And then they did things that I've never seen before.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I literally leaned forward in my seat and went, what?
Nice. Nice.
I saw something new. And I was really, really impressed with it. And they did, they did a great job on it. But it was just like, whoa, you got to get up really early to do something I haven't seen yet.
Not so early. Salsa kind of gets up mid-morning. He's not.
But like they had one aerialist. You know how there's the one that's the routine that's just the hoop suspended from the ceiling?
Yeah, the lira. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the lira, except instead of a hoop, it was a hotel luggage cart.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They took a hotel luggage cart and put a cable on top, and she performed in that.
Nice. That's outstanding.
It was amazing. Amazing. It was just like, okay, that is something new. That was really, really good. You know, and you can imagine all of the like twisting and winding around you can do on one of those luggage carts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she started on the ground. She started, you know, winding in and out and doing various, you know, contortions around it. And then they brought in the cable and hooked the cable to it, and they lifted it up, and it was just like, holy fuck.
That's fucking awesome.
That's fantastic.
The one that absolutely destroyed was it's the one where it's just a single rope, like that thick wrist thick rope.
Yeah.
That the aerialists hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can wrap themselves up in it and do this stuff. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of that rope was a single light, like chandelier dome light thing, or what's that called? Like a parabola light fixture.
Okay. Sure.
And so
I get it.
Yeah, so
ceiling
so
titty?
No, it was the convex light. So it curves down with the light on the inside of it. But it was like the dark point of the show where the dad was falling into despair.
Hmm.
And like, so he came out and like it came down and it was just the one light on him. You know, and he would like reach up for it and the light would just be out of reach. And then he would take the light and he would swing the light back and forth. And like, as the light passed over him, he would like do a thing along with the light.
Hmm.
But then he like, you know, climbed up on top of it and was wrapping himself up in the rope itself. But he had that single, almost like a spotlight below him.
Yeah.
That he was able to shine, you know, at various things, and it was heart-wrenching. It was so beautiful and so just I was bawling like a baby. It was so gorgeous, so wonderful. It's almost like those Cirque people know what the fuck they're doing.
Weird.
And then the
never heard of them.
Yeah. And then the tumblers came out as reindeer and fucked around for, you know, 7 minutes or something like
that. Nice.
It was marvelous. So yeah, highly recommend. In case you were on the fence about going to a Cirque show. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
So nice. I recommend it. And then I went to Muppets and Coco. And I had Muppets and watched Coco. Wait, no, I had Coco and watched Muppets that way. That's
watched.
Way.
Yeah. I'm so sad I missed that.
Although Pixar's Coco is a delightful film.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
How many did you have?
A couple of glasses.
Glasses of Muppets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair. I was not at Muppets and Coco. Let me tell you about my weekend.
Oh no.
So Friday, Joe's brother was in town. On his way, he made a one night stop on his way to Wisconsin to go watch Kansas City versus Green Bay over in Wisconsin with a bunch of his buddies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes into town and like gets into his Airbnb, and then that night he and his buddies end up at VFW in Uptown. They're going to sing some karaoke. They're like, hey, come on out. So I did. And I ran into some people from Kansas City that I knew before and like did karaoke and got absolutely blotto and stumbled home afterwards with my boyfriend. And we stayed until all hours and partied with Joe's brother and KC people. And we stumble home because we can. It's like just a few blocks away. And we get inside the house. And I go directly upstairs. Joe goes to do something else. And then as I'm upstairs, at one point I hear step. Thump, 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 thump. And I'm what? And Joe's like, ow. And I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he fell down a couple of stairs. He did not fall down the entire flight of stairs like I did.
Sure.
And like my very first question was, did you hit your head? And he was like, no, I didn't hit my head. I'm just an idiot. But now everything hurts. And I was like, well, that's a fair reaction to have to falling down all of the stairs. So like, and I was trying to help and he was being cranky because that's what he does when he's in pain. And I went, I'll be in bed. Figure out your life. Let me know if you need me. Like one of those things. And yeah. So he comes to bed. He apologizes. I'm like, I get it. You're hurt. I just don't know what to do for you. Like all of that stuff. And we go to bed. And he wakes up the next morning in excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is what I was worried about, but he wouldn't let me do anything for him. So I'm like, well, all right. Yeah. And after about an hour or so of excruciating pain, I was like, he was like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, can I tell you what I would like you to do? Because again, my boyfriend does not do things people tell him to do. Like that's just straight up. Mm-hmm. No, he is very anti people telling him what to do. And I was like, I would like you to go to urgent care because I have fallen downstairs before and I have concerns and you're in a lot of pain and they can give you good drugs for that. So this is what I would like to see you do. So we go to urgent care. And, like, that morning, like, we didn't get up until, like, 11, right? And I was hung the fuck over, so I'm just like, ugh. I feel like I got hit by a truck and my boyfriend tumbled down some stairs. like, I was just real hungover. So we get to urgent care, and I'm a little sniffly. And we're in the urgent care for, like, 4 hours. Like, we checked in and they're like, it'll be a 2 to 3 hour wait. And we're like, cool. And I was like, so should we grab some food? Like, yeah. So we grabbed some food, came back, still waited around for a while. Joe got some x-rays. Nothing is broken. You know, that's nice. But yeah, his back and shoulder is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So, and by this point, I'm like, ugh. Like, it gets to be like 5:30, and I'm like, I'm not making it to Muppets and Coco. I am tired as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I wake up, and I'm like, God, my allergies are really acting up. And I go grocery shopping with my brother. And then, like, I get back from grocery shopping, and I'm a little winded, and I'm like, oh, I don't think this is allergies. I might be actively sick. So now Joe can't move. I am sick. Sunday night, we both stayed in our respective areas overall. he went to bed before me, which never happens. And I go upstairs an hour later, and like I could hear him. So when he's in pain, when he gets like a little spasm or something, he's just like, like he makes a noise, and sometimes he like hits something with his good hand, like not like punching a pillow or like hitting the mattress or the top of a thing. Not like he doesn't hit me. I want to be very clear. He's just trying to get that frustration out. In an inanimate object that does not care. But yeah, so like he'll make noise. He'll call out in pain. He'll all of these things. And so he was doing that occasionally for a couple of hours while we were sharing a bed, and I was trying to get to sleep. And he was like, he got up and like would get back down trying to not be in pain. And eventually I was like, okay, baby, here's the deal. We have other places I can sleep. You're the one with the fucked up back. You stay in the bed that has the quality mattress. I'll go crash somewhere else in the house. I'm like, he felt bad. And I'm like, don't feel bad. He's like, well, I don't feel guilty. I just feel bad. And I'm like, all right, that's fair. I get that. Yeah. Whatever. Because now I'm sick, sleeping in a bed that is not... By the way, the futon in my guest room is bullshit, so I'll be replacing that. I didn't realize it was that bad to sleep on. It's awful. So I didn't sleep well last night. I messaged work today and I was like, I'm not going to be in. And Joe got up and he went to work because I can't make him not.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he went into work and I was like, well, I'm going to sleep in the bed then.
Yeah.
I went back to bed for a few hours. Like, I got another four hours of sleep that I needed. So, yeah, I don't think I woke up until, like, what, 11:30, noon, something like that. It was shortly before the three of us had a chat about podcasting, and I'm just like, nope, I'm not leaving the house. Fuck this. Yeah.
Reasonable.
Right.
Very.
So that was my weekend. On the plus side, I'm feeling a little bit better now than I was, like, even earlier this morning. So.
Excellent.
I'm hoping I've, like, turned a corner in whatever the fuck this is, but I don't know. It could also be the Dayquil.
It is mighty powerful.
Yeah. Never quite sure which direction that's from, but. So yeah, that is pretty much what I've been up to.
Well, James,
yeah,
bring us out of this hole.
So I was sick all last week.
God damn it!
Well played.
Salsa just had to start, didn't he?
Thanks.
No,
well
no.
Played.
Thanks. No. Yeah, no, no. Right. I ended up doing
a
bunch
of really show, and it was sick.
Yeah, I was sick to Soleil. No, Soleil's a delight. So,
true.
Yeah. I was sick last week, and I ended up working Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because they don't have enough people right now. It was a little bit of a struggle, but I did get work done. But the weird thing was that the sense of doing it because I was choosing to do it made it easier somehow to get stuff done. I had a pretty good work week. I did art. I watched cool stuff. Nice. Yeah. Jax and I had a remote date because they tested negative. But yeah. It was not a relaxing week because I didn't feel good. But it just having no societal expectations, I found was suddenly allowing me to sort of recover from burnout.
Oh, sure.
A little bit.
I can get that. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it reminded me that I haven't really taken much in the way of time for myself, but yeah, I've been getting stuff done on the house and like busted through 5 hours of cleaning and organization in a room that we haven't touched since we moved in. Sure. Which,
oh, I know which room that is in my house.
Yeah, I think everybody's got that room. Mm-hmm. The first year that they move in, they've got that room. Went through stuff, sorted stuff out, and found a bunch of stuff that had been missing, in quotes.
Aww.
Yeah, which was actually fucking great news. It was that was a very positive experience. Hung up gay lights because we have a neighbor across the street with an American flag who complains about hybrid cars. So we're gonna hang the gayest possible Christmas lights.
Yes. I am here for this.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not ready for gay pride, prepare for gay spite. So the
yes.
Yeah. So
there's going to be an emotion and it will be gay. So
deal with it. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Did that, and then made progress on house stuff. And it's, I think it's really going to be a good season. Knocking on the fucking wood. It's going to be a good season for getting more of that stuff done.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just like getting to chat with my spouse and with my, some of my other folks in my family about, you know, what secret plans we have for people's birthdays and Christmas and stuff, which is fantastic. I this is the part of the holiday that is so big for me, is like getting to use cleverness for people's benefit. I'm pranking them with love.
Pranking them with love is definitely like your tagline, I think.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I've been up to. And but other than that, just binge watched a lot of YouTube videos that I had stacked up because 2 years ago I discovered the Watch Later playlist.
And, you had a lot to watch later, did you?
A lot to watch later, yeah. And it turns out that it later happened, yeah. So, yeah.
It reminds me of, interrupting entirely. have you guys heard of the Round Two-Its?
Mm.
This is...
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Like the little round things. And like, my grandma had one, but it just said Two-It on it. And it was like...
had one at one point.
Yeah, it's a very like Minnesotan craft sale flea market kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole thing is, you know, I'll do it when I get around to it. And I feel like that was your watch later list was finally you got around to it.
Mm-hmm.
And later became now.
Mm-hmm. One of the other catalysts for this, I hate ordering shit from Amazon, but when I do, I want to like make a feast of it. I want to try to order as much of the stuff that I'm trying to get from Amazon in one go as possible, both to save on shipping, but also because it encourages me to buy fewer things. Because I'll come back to it and go, I really don't need this right now. Yeah. gives me time to think about it instead of impulse purchasing, which is probably a great idea. But something that that I did buy was a Dymo labeler.
Oh.
And they sell the printy ones, you know, the laser printer ones, which are very legible and very easy to use and very fast.
That's not what you wanted, though.
I will surprise, I think, absolutely everyone by saying that is not the one that I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the
clicky gun.
The dial emboss click.
Yes.
One. And I think that was part of the joy in sorting out that room, was getting to label boxes with my clicky wheel Dymo labeler.
Yes. Love
I just
it.
Appreciate the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So yeah, that was kind of my week.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we actually come to a? Like,
this is weird.
Pleasant conclusion.
Kind of. I feel a little unsettled. What's going on here?
I don't know.
I'm scared too.
Yeah, it was a neatly wrapped up segment in a reasonable amount of time.
What are we even doing with our lives?
Taking a break.
Oh, all right.
Good. Yeah, I'll take a break. I'll refresh my drink.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
My name is the Count Dracula. Blah.
I mean, that's... I thought you were the Baron.
I am the Baron.
Mm.
Baron mm-hmm. of Brno.
That's so crazy. Well,
all right.
My lord.
Oh.
I'm ready to start whenever you are, my lord.
Well, in that case, my lady, we should do so.
Mm. And also James.
Mm-hmm. I'm here too.
Yeah, one of our commoners, he
One of the peasantry has arrived.
Yes.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Libyan.
Did I ever tell you the first time I tried haggis?
He's still Charles... talking to us, darling.
Mm. I mean, we must allow them to think they have some sort of voice. Otherwise, there'll be rebellions and revolts. And you know how the peasants are revolting, so.
Hey, well, this one certainly is.
Mm.
That's accurate.
So are we back?
I don't know. Are we?
Are we?
I'm Baron Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Lady Jenna.
Reverend James.
I am the Reverend Ooh, Lady Jenna.
I am the Reverend Baron.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we're all in the ministry. This is absolutely a corrupt lost. System, is what is happening.
Hell
right
yes.
Here.
I love how James tried to get in on that, and we just shot that down.
Yeah, we're like, oh yeah, I also do that yeah. thing. I forgot that I also
some of us,
do that.
Some of us were aware. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost like the honorifics are easy to get. Come.
What?
What are you talking about?
Well, all right. So here was my thought. I've been sick. Still am sick. But one of the things that I do when I'm sick is I watch a lot of documentaries. Because I feel like I'm doing something productive with my time, even though I'm not really.
Sure.
Right.
Sounds crazy to me.
Well, only if I remember what happened.
Better than watching Christmas movies.
Oh god. don't you fucking get me started on that. It's good. Whatever you say, malort.
Blech. Why would you hurt all of us?
Some people want to see the world burn.
Yeah, Salsa started it.
Some people just want to see David burn.
So anyway, one of the documentaries that I watched, it's a three-part series, and I can't remember the exact name, but I think it's something about the food that made America. And I was like, well, I like food. I want to know about this. So it's a three-part series, and it starts with basically like the Industrial Revolution and how certain things kind of helped shape and build into American culture. One of the first things they bring up is Heinz. And like the invention of tomato ketchup and Frederick Heinz and like his background and information on that. But they also interspersed that the Heinz story with the Kellogg story, which is fascinating, by the way. The Kellogg brothers.
Here's some cereal so you don't masturbate.
No,
the masturbation thing is a myth.
Oh,
really? That's
no.
Apocryphal?
I know the inventor of the graham cracker was like that, but...
Are you sure you know that? Because I could have sworn I knew that the Kellogg thing was... But no. No, it is
I'm waiting for the QI klaxon to go off in the background.
But no, the Kellogg brothers. So one of them was a super famous doctor that ran the Kellogg Sanitarium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he had a brother, William... who was thought to be slow, but was probably just like on the spectrum somewhere. But not like, you know, not like dysfunctional, just he couldn't keep up with school stuff because of how school was structured kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so his brother ended up working for him, and, Dr. John Kellogg had, specific food that he wanted people to eat, because a lot of the problems that he saw come through the sanitarium were digestion issues. Digestion was huge in American culture, problematic in the late 1800s due to cities being so quickly populated as they were. They didn't have a lot of farm fresh foods like So digestion and food fraud stuff before the Food and Drug Act, all of that stuff was like massive. Like people could just put whatever they wanted to and call it food.
Sure.
It was, you know, and you, there's a lot of like the sawdust and the pulp and things like that to make things cheaper. So Kellogg basically made like this granola. That was supposed to be easy for people to digest. It helped with the digestive issues, all of this stuff. And his brother, William, was like, we should sell this. Like, people really like this, and it really seems to be helping people a lot. And Dr. John Kellogg was like, no, that'll cheapen my name. I am a doctor and all of this other stuff, right? And, like, to be fair, Dr. Kellogg was fucking insane as far as like his strictness to, he was married for 40 years and never consummated that marriage. He felt sex was bad for people. So that's probably where the Kellogg serial masturbation myth comes from. But yeah, it was made specifically for digestive stuff. And he had... There was one guy that came through the sanitarium for a bit, checked himself in, and really liked this cereal, and started working with William Kellogg, the brother, on this cereal stuff. And then he left and stole a bunch of William's notes on how it's made. And that's how we have post-Grape Nuts.
I love Grape Nuts.
Yeah, so Mr. Post showed up at the sanitarium, stole the recipe, and so then eventually William was able to get John to sell him the recipes for Kellogg, but now at this point, Post was making a fuck ton of money off of the Grape Nuts, and so William Kellogg was like, well, I'm going to have to change my recipe, make it different, and he basically... there was one night where the mash had been left out overnight. And so it was, they ran it through a roller anyway, and it came out as flakes as opposed to clumps. Like they were used to. And that's how Kellogg's flakes were made. And so they tested with a whole bunch of different things, found out corn flaked the best. And that's how Kellogg's corn flakes became a thing.
Well,
wild.
Right? So yeah, like all of this crazy stuff. And like, there's a lot of these things that I learned and I'm curious about, but like, what kind of, do you guys know of like other historical, interesting food facts?
There's another series. It sounds like a similar series to yours, but it's on like candy.
They also did Hershey's and Mars. Okay. It was like a second episode. There were three episodes in this.
Yeah, this was like a 6-episode series.
Ooh.
And each one was on a different like candy.
Okay.
They weren't like full like half hour episodes or anything like that. They were short. It was like a short little like each.
Oh yeah,
10 minutes long.
These were like an hour and a half.
Yeah, these were on YouTube somewhere.
Okay. All right.
But
what interesting candy facts do you have, Salsa?
Oh, I don't even remember. I watched these a long time ago. I can't even remember.
If I start talking about Hershey things, maybe you'll remember things from your Hershey visit.
Yeah, I mean, visiting Hershey was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, because it was, Hershey is a factory town.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, yeah. And they
smell like chocolate. It's great.
Like, and Hershey wanted his factory town to be somewhere where people wanted to live, right? He was actually very big on quality of life for his factory workers. And he spent a lot of money starting to make the factory before he had even solidified his product.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he wanted to make milk chocolate. Milk chocolate was something that like Europeans were making, and he had somebody who was like, this is the best thing ever. But he wanted to do it with fresh milk as opposed to like milk concentrate, like they were doing in Europe. And he wanted to do it with fresh milk. So he put his factory in the middle of Dairyland so that there was easy access to all of these cows, and like he could start up contracts with farmers and get fresh milk and make chocolate and all the rest of that, right? Super cool. He didn't have a product until somebody accidentally, like, they were able to make the chocolate milk happen, but there was a touch of scald to it, which is actually something that remains in American chocolate today. Like the Hershey's distinctive chocolate taste is actually that touch of scald that you get from the fresh milk.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, that's why American chocolate just tastes so much different than European chocolate, is European chocolate is made from concentrate powder, or whatever, and doesn't have that scald flavor put into it. So.
Well, I mean, I don't remember a lot from my trip to Hershey. But what I do remember is that in 1894, Milton Hershey first experimented with making chocolate. And that in 1941 to 45, Hershey produced more than 3 billion ration bars for the troops.
Yes.
And that in 1925 to 39, Mr. Goodbar and Crackle Bars, Hershey Syrup and Hershey's Miniatures launched.
Oh, man.
Yeah. In 1963, Hershey acquired Reese's to make Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And in 1977, they acquired Twizzlers.
I sense shenanigans.
You're remembering an awful lot more from that tour than I would have thought. I'm glad you took notes on your phone Salsa.
Yeah, I'm glad I took pictures of all of the wall of the factory. Yeah, no, that was a good time. I enjoyed that a great deal. I bought my Reese's T-shirt.
I love that.
What are there documentaries? See, I know. I mean, obviously, there's Tasting History with Mac.
Oh, absolutely.
That is fucking amazing. Go watch that. other food documentary.
I mean, Taste and History with Max Miller, I learned that nutmeg is just a thing.
Well, have you seen Townsend?
Oh, Townsend, like, cashes in on that.
Nutmeg is his favorite. Like, he...
Okay.
Townsend puts nutmeg in everything.
Yeah, but isn't that... Wasn't it Max Miller that said that was a specific... There was a specific reason for that? For, like, nutmeg being in everything?
Sure, I think there was, but like, Townsend... he loves this stuff.
He just dumps it in, like, by the barrel. He's just chucking whole nutmegs, ungrated. Is that what they're called? Nutmegs? Are they nutmeg nuts?
Meg nuts, yeah.
Okay.
Nutmeg comes from meg nuts.
How can that be true? I mean, I understand, but also, what?
I think it's more actually it's the dry byproduct versus the wet byproduct. There's nut milk and nutmeg.
Okay. I think this makes all of the sense. Any kind of nut could be a nutmeg. That's fine.
There's cashew nut milk and there's cashew nutmeg.
All right.
I'll just accept this.
Yeah, I like how James is
right now. There are shaking... QI claxons going off.
Yeah.
No, James is like. He's got this tone of acceptance, but he's also shaking his head. Like, this is fucking bullshit, but whatever, let's go.
He's just angry he didn't think of it.
Bad. A little. That seems likely.
Yeah, it's actually, you're correct that there's nut milk and there's nutmeg, but the it was ye olde English. It was nutsmeg. It's the smegma of the nut milk.
Too far, James.
Do not want.
Excellent.
Do not want.
I'm glad that I could bring us to the place where we all...
Gross.
There are certain rules about comedy, and James looks at those and goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it worse.
Going to poop on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, bodily function is often humorous.
Can be.
The fart joke is universal.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the favorite things that I learned was about McDonald's.
Oh.
So, like, McDonald's was started by the McDonald's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted to have a restaurant. Like, yeah, it was two brothers that just wanted to have a fucking restaurant. And there was this guy, and I can't remember his name, but he saw, like, these two brothers basically set up a process to crank out burgers at a good speed to get people to come in and buy their stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy comes in, and they were selling this process to people. They're like, come in, take a tour. We'll teach you how to do this stuff, and you give us money, we'll teach you how to do this. And so, like, they only wanted their one restaurant. And so this other guy comes in and is basically like, hey guys, have you ever thought about franchising? And they were like, no, we don't want to do that. We're happy just having our restaurant. And the guy basically offers them an astronomical amount of money. To be able to start franchising McDonald's, right? And so basically he gets all of this McDonald's stuff out there, and then he starts buying up all of the McDonald's's. Mm. I'm sure I'm saying that right. And he tried to get the McDonald's brothers to sell their restaurant to him, and they were like, no. And they're like, no, we just want to have our restaurant. Can't we just have our restaurant with our name? But eventually he offered them enough money. And so they basically sold the rights to call things McDonald's, right? And then this fucker does two things. He, number one, does legal action to make the brothers change the name of their restaurant.
Oh.
So the McDonald's brothers can no longer be McDonald's.
Oh.
Right? And that, like, I think they called it, like, Big M or something.
Ugh.
And then he built a McDonald's across the street.
Oh.
Fuck.
Right? And I'm like, fuck you, asshole. Holy shit.
He pulled a post on him.
Oh my god, it was so bad. It was so bad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like that is, and like, I think my favorite thing is listening to these documentary people talk about, like, well, you had to be ruthless to be able to get ahead, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, nah, that's still pretty shitty behavior. Let's be real. Yeah. But I love how in these documentaries they're trying to build tension. And they're like, will so-and-so be able to do this thing? If he can do this, he'll become the front leader and blah, 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 blah. But it's history documentaries. Yeah. So we already know that he doesn't, like, go out of business. Like,
there's a McDonald's across the street over here. I'm pretty sure that.
Mm-hmm. Right. It energizes the hell out of me.
Do you know... a really fantastic food documentary is Supersizers Go.
I love it so fucking much. That was my introduction to Sue Perkins.
Mine too.
I haven't seen it.
Supersizers Go is Sue Perkins and another comedian.
Who is delightful. Sue Perkins is glorious.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Giles is a food critic.
Okay.
But it's the two of them spend 1 week eating nothing but period food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I do know about this. I remember because I walked into your place once and y'all were watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is fucking neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just like, you know, they'll be like in the restoration era and they're just like, I have been low level drunk.
Yes.
Because we wake up in the morning and we drink beer and then we have lunch and we drink wine. And then we have port, and then we have wine with dinner with claret and a small beer.
Jesus.
And just like I have not been sober in 4 days.
You know? Oh, God.
And they're just and the thing is, Sue Perkins is a vegetarian.
Okay.
Oh my God.
But
I had no idea.
But for the purposes of this show, she was like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And so she will eat meat for this week.
Oh, my God. That is dedication to a fucking thing. You know?
But she's just like, if I'm going to, I'm not going to put my sensibilities on if I'm going to eat like this time period, that's what I'm going to do.
Fair enough.
And but like, you know, she's used to eating plants and Giles he's used to having high end cuisine with, you know, and they're just like, and then we get to like Henry VIII's time and everything is meat.
I was about to say
it's just here's
it's a roast
boar
wrapped in bacon
and rabbit. And
dipped in fish.
It's just everything. Like, and here's a like a little like carrot on the side. Like
it's like a turducken, but like 17 animals.
It's helping
animals
to keep your other pork chop warm.
You know. And then but they'll go to the doctor at the beginning of the week, and then a week later they'll go back to the doctor, and the doctor's like, yeah, your heart rate has gone up this much and your cholesterol has gone up, and they're like, it's been a week.
God.
Like their lipid levels go up and everything. Like they're just like, but yeah. and sometimes they're having a great time, you know, they're just like, this food tastes amazing and I love every minute. And you know, they're drinking posset and just having the time of their lives. And sometimes they're just like, how did anyone
survive this era? Oh my god. So what's your favorite recipe that you learned from that document series.
They don't really learn recipes that from that
okay
from Super Sizers Go. And they tell you what they're meal eating.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be one of the ones that was like the big meals where they have the centerpieces that you don't eat. You just look at. Like they had a turkey dress, a cooked turkey riding a suckling pig as a knight. So the turkey is straddling the suckling pig with a sword and shield and helmet. And it was like they cooked a fucking pig with a turkey straddling it so that they could achieve this centerpiece, this ostentatious centerpiece. And they bring it out and they show it to the king. And then
your man just sits
there. It goes back in the kitchen.
Oh my god!
They cook it. Yeah, it's insane the sheer level of conspicuous consumption in the court. I think this was.
Oh my god!
I think this was the Restoration period. Not Restoration. This was pre French Revolution. I think.
That would make sense.
Yeah. You're not going to get away with that right after.
Yeah. And some of the desserts that they had was really interesting, you know, like marzipan and
I think hold on to that though. Because here's the thing, like Joe and I have said, if we ever get married, what we're going to do is we're just going to go down to a courthouse and do a fucking thing and show up and be like, "Hey y'all, we did the thing." But then we would have parties later on to celebrate said marriage. And pig roast is like top of the list, right? Just pig roast. People show up, fucking eat your pig or whatever other sides exist, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But night turkey riding a pig might. Like, I've never really wanted a wedding cake. But this is just too good to pass up.
Wow.
Like, that would be incredible. So.
That is a word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If we could get two turkeys riding on a pig.
Bareback.
Then there was the.
What else?
There was an episode that was in, like, old England, like Chaucer's time, where they basically recreated. Chaucer's the pilgrimage that he writes about. And so they like go on, they like travel along and they eat like duck penis.
I would try it once.
Yeah. Just like it's also,
yeah. Oh,
and the Rome episode was also, Sue having an orgy was a delight.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, because it's the old Roman orgy, not the modern sex orgy.
Mm. Right.
So it's just Sue like with a chicken corpse, like dancing around and rolling her head back in her eyes and shaking and
oh my God.
having a religious experience dancing around with a chicken corpse. Is hilarious.
Oh my God. That is fantastic.
But then they have episodes that go all the way up until like the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the 80s one where they were talking, everything was, microwave dinner, like they were a power couple and he went to his job on Wall Street. And
God,
she was off doing gym in the Lycra, stuff like that. And so it was all TV dinners and he would go drink heavily all day. Yeah, he was having scotches with business partners and stuff like that and everything like that. It's really interesting seeing how tastes change even as recently as that.
Right.
So, yeah. Supersizers Go is amazing if anybody hasn't seen them yet.
Yeah. Strong recommend. Yeah. Absolutely.
James, do you have any favorite food documentaries?
I've really enjoyed a lot of the we're going to teach you how to make street food YouTube series that I've caught, but I think the one that sticks out in my mind is someone learning to make. There's an omelet that's very famous in Japan. It's served over rice.
Okay.
And it's this almost like an egg balloon full of slightly runny yolk.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And if you aren't a person who enjoys runny yolk, hang in there. Because the idea is that you cut it.
Okay.
It's omu rice, omelet rice.
Mm-hmm.
You cut it, and the egg yolk soaks into the rice and cooks
from
the heat of the of the rice, and so you get this like eggy, sweet rice sort of scrambled thing.
It makes like a sauce, like an egg sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically like an egg sauce, or almost like putting hollandaise on rice.
Yeah.
But then with an omelet on top of it. And it is so fucking ridiculously difficult to do well that someone who had been picked out as being one of the better American omu rice makers was sent to Japan to a restaurant that only makes omu rice. That is their entire business model.
All right.
They make omu rice. They make different kinds, but they make like three or four different kinds, and that's fucking it. And watching, because the video is, I want to say like 20 to 30 minutes, but it's clear that he is there for two or more hours. And the Japanese chef is super patient with him.
Just like,
but also,
come
but
on,
also
American.
Very strict. Yeah, it's just like that's not correct. You're about to find out why. But it was so good. It was incredible to watch, and it for such an intrinsically simple thing as an egg envelope with slightly runny yolk inside, it clues you in to how fucking mind-blowingly complicated something like that can be.
Yeah.
But it ended up making me better at making regular omelets.
Yeah.
Sure.
Watching that.
Oh, I can believe that.
He's got a technique that he uses when he's making his American omu rice. Where he like scrunches the side in and tips the uncooked yolk behind the edge that he's lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're constantly replacing the edge, and you're constantly like picking it up off the bottom, so you never get that burned side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you're constantly like scooting it in and creating this lush like peak and valley folded thing that then you can just easily, you know, sprinkle cheese on and flip it over, that kind of thing. It's the way. And watching somebody do that taught me how to make a better omelet.
Awesome.
Here. Nice. Unrelated to omu rice, but I would love to learn how to make omu rice, but holy fuck. You just have to fuck up omu rice for several hours.
That's basically what Joe says about his grilling. Like people are like, how do you learn how to grill so well? And he's like, I have eaten a lot of bad food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
fuck up a lot until you figure it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought, James, I honestly thought you were going to say Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Jiro Dreams of Sushi is fucking amazing. But the lesson is become incredibly dedicated to something. Yeah. Insist that people take it seriously. And everyone taking it seriously will elevate it to a completely unimaginable peak, which is inspiring.
Well, and along
I mean, that's how I live my life. So
that's
this podcast aside.
I mean, and along those same lines, I'm gonna bring up another one. Psalm.
Oh,
Psalm.
What? Psalm.
S-O-M. It is about five people who are studying to take the Master Sommelier test.
Oh shit!
Oh,
Salsa, you and I watched some of this.
There's two movies. There's Psalm and then now there's Psalm 2. But it is you learn
Psalm 2 Electric Boogaloo.
You learn more about wine than you really realized. Like it was. This was the movie that finally made me understand terroir. Like up until that point, I was kind of the opinion that a lot of people were about terroir is kind of bullshit. And you really, and then I watched this movie and I was like, okay, no, now that they've explained this, it makes more sense.
So tell me about this. What specifically was it that?
Well, just so. Talking about how, you know, you've got two fields literally right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is amazing wine and this one is shitty wine. You know, $20 a bottle and this is $200 a bottle. How can that be? And it was just like, really? Are you serious? And then they talked about how when the plant is growing, the amount of rockiness in the soil will dictate how much water the soil can hold, will dictate if the grape has to work harder to get water, it's going to sink roots deeper. When it sinks roots deeper, it's going to have to work harder, and therefore the grape has a more robust flavor. If it's on a slope, it has to work harder, and you get more flavor out of a grape that has worked harder. If a grape has it made in the shade, living in the sun, it's not going to produce very good wine. If a grape is hard and is a fucking, like, you know, cockney bastard with a knife in its teeth, it's going to scrape and scrabble to fucking survive. You're going to get better flavor out of the grape.
Oh, all
and
right.
So, that's if you've wild. Got two fields right next to each other and one of them is rockier soil, on slightly more of a slope, the grape has to work harder to survive. And
wow.
It's going to produce a better grape. And that is how you can have fields right next to each other that produce different wines. And it was just like, okay, now that you've actually explained why terroir is a thing, it makes sense to me. Before it was just like, yeah, it's the field has got a little better grape.
Right.
It's like, no, this is Oogie Woogie.
It's like a beer commercial from the land of sky blue water.
Exactly.
Right.
But like actually breaking it
doesn't make
it
a fucking difference.
Breaking it down and saying, this is why I went, oh, now I get it.
Huh.
And along that same line, what is that? James May and Oz Clark. They did a wine show as well.
I don't know anything about that.
Also,
I remember seeing James May beat Gordon Ramsay in a competition of machismo and manliness. but tell me about your thing first.
Yeah. If you remember what it is.
Yeah, I'm looking up the name right now.
He took photos of the wall.
It's Oz and James Big Wine Adventure. So Oz Clark and James May. Oz Clark is a wine snob, and James May likes a pint of beer.
Yeah.
And so they go through France's wine country, and Oz Clark tries desperately to bring some culture to James May. And James May is James May of Top Gear. He likes some
right.
like bitters and,
right.
and wants to talk about cars. And so he'll like get a glass of wine and he'll slam the whole glass. And Oz is like,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, buddy.
It's, but because you have that every man with him when he's explaining mm-hmm. things to him, it goes, oh. So that's another good one.
Gotcha. No, I was going to say, I remember Gordon Ramsay, famed for being a hard ass and an amazing cook. I mean, legitimately an amazing cook, but yeah. famed for, mostly for being very blunt and sometimes even kind of mean about shit.
Yep.
He has made a career on this persona of kind of the toxic idea of manliness because mm-hmm. he was a European football player before as well. So he sits down James May, who is Captain Slow on Top Gear and who likes to sit around and talk and you know, is more of a like a dad bod.
He is the James of the show.
Yes, he, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he sits down with Gordon Ramsay, and Gordon Ramsay is like, "All right, we're going to start this off. We're going to eat bull penis and testicles. We're going to eat, you know, we're going to drink this liqueur that is made out of." You know, fermented snake semen or something, like just like a series, a string of like
it's snake blood, but go on.
Right. Whatever it is, he has like this string of like four or five things that they do where he's like, this is supposed to be really, you know, like in that culture, this is the manliest thing. You're doing the manliest thing, you know, and then they end on the fermented shark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Icelandic.
Yeah. And as they are bringing it in, people are like scooting away from it.
Nope.
And like it has on real live action television, it has smell lines. So like cartoon smell lines coming off of it. And they set it down and James May eats his. And Gordon Ramsay, I think, gets one bite into it, and you see his pallor change.
He's just like, nope.
And he tries for another one, and then has to nope out. I think it was after like two or three bites, he is done. And James May just looks over as he's putting another fork full into his mouth, and he says, "Bad form, Ramsay." I thought you were made of stronger stuff. Like,
oh, that is the happiest.
That is amazing.
So good.
Fuck, it's so good.
Oh my god, what was this called again? Because I need to make sure Joe's seen this one.
I'll have to pull up the a link to it.
Yeah, send me the thing.
I'll put a link into it. I'll try to find the Omu Rice video as well. But strongly recommend both of those. It was gratifying mm-hmm. to see him suddenly like pickle and
oh my god.
Yeah. I would probably try Hakarl, but that's the fermented shark.
Yeah.
But I think I would earnestly regret it.
If I was in Iceland, I would try it. I would absolutely try it. Probably only once.
Okay. Question for you guys. We should probably wrap.
Yeah.
But I do have a question. What is the worst food you have tried?
Ooh,
like you were trepidatious going into that shit and your gut was like, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And then you took a bite And your mouth was like, nope, gut was right. Don't do it. And gut was like, I told you so. And like,
yeah.
You couldn't swallow it, or you had to spit it out, or you swallowed it, but never again. Like,
Malort.
Okay, Malort. I can't.
That's the easy answer.
That's the easy answer. Be better than that.
Right one.
Be better than that, Salsa. Mm. That's like saying that your biggest fear is losing your children. We all know that. That, of course, it is. Move beyond that.
Right.
I don't.
The fear of losing your children to spiders. That.
Right, yeah.
That's the winner. Shark was pretty bad.
Mm.
The fermented shark? Or just shark in general?
Just regular shark.
Regular shark. I haven't had the Hakarl, but just regular shark was.
What didn't you like about regular shark?
Shark is very slimy.
Is it?
It is very slimy. You're like, oh, it's going to be like fish. It's not. Mm. It's like fish covered in snot.
Is it like root fish?
It's kind of that sort of like snotty.
Fish-y. Snotty. Like if it's, because the jelly hasn't collected quite right.
Yeah. It's chunky aspic.
gotcha.
It's kind of shark. And without a much of flavor to make it worthwhile.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But I mean, like, lutefisk is that way because of all the lye. Shark is just naturally that.
Yeah. It's kind of
snotty.
Just like weirdly greasy? Or is it like oysters?
It's closer to oysters, but it's literally like it is partially jello.
Huh.
Hmm.
All right.
It's kind of bad.
I'm trying to.
The texture definitely put me off. Sea urchin.
I've heard the sea urchin is fucking miserable. Is
also
sea
urchin? Really snotty.
Not great. I had sea slug.
Oh,
and it was
similar,
but it was like it was way more. Yeah, like it was like the loogie.
Yeah.
That like you go to what? But it's also kind of dried out on one end, so there's a little bit of a bleh, crunch thing. It's not okay. Do not recommend. No. Nope. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And sea slug was going to be mine. But yeah, sea urchin is very similar, and I'm just not here for it.
No, those are unpleasant. Mm.
Trying to think if there's just a meal that I have ever like truly struggled through. I think when I was a younger man, when I was just getting started, picked that leaf off the ground. I said, young man. I was trying to make a meal for somebody like super fast and with literally fucking nothing in the fridge. And I ended up with a situation very similar, I think, to Jenna's spam story. We've got these like miserable fun dogs in the fridge. We're so sick of them, but we got to get rid of them.
Right.
You could get 8 for, I think it was 75 cents, 80 cents. They were literally the cheapest meat-like thing you could get.
Sure.
And I had, like, per pound. So there were two of them left, and I was like, I need something to put them in because I need a carbohydrate. You know, so I'm like, a tortilla. But I'm not just going to put a fucking hot dog in a tortilla, right? We've got like 2 pinches of leftover shredded cheese. I'm going to drop the shredded cheese on the hot dogs. I'm going to put it into a tortilla. I'm going to nuke it. Right?
Right.
And honestly, it doesn't sound like it would be as wretched as it absolutely was.
No.
I love tortillas. I love cheese. I love hot dogs. I love hot dogs with cheese. I love tortillas with cheese. This was a fuck up.
Oh, honey.
I handed it to them and they took a bite and they were like, no, this is really sad. Like mm-hmm. this tastes like human misery and suffering. And I was like, I mean, it shouldn't. And I took a bite and I was like, no, yeah, you're correct.
You're correct in your assessment.
Abjectly depressing.
I guess the one for me is I was in my 30s before I was able to have a bite of sauerkraut without retching.
Mm. Huh. All right.
Sauerkraut tastes like sick.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Doesn't taste like that to me. Although now I'm concerned the next time I have it, it's going to be like.
But to me, hour of salsa suggestion. Fuck.
Yeah, to me, my whole life, sauerkraut tasted like sick. And whenever I would try to eat it, it would just. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I was able to get down a bite without. Because I would, every so often, somebody would have a brat, and I'd be like, oh, let's give it a try. And, and my wife, bless her, would always make like Polish sausage around the house and make it with onions instead of because she knew
your wife is the best wife.
She is, but she also truly knew that if she cooked it with sauerkraut, I would just walk into the house retching, and that's
right. Not.
And so, like, whenever we would go out and, you know, to a place like a hockey game or something, and she'd be like, "Yes, we're getting a kraut on a sausage, blah, 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 blah." But right. I would every few years I would take a bite and see if I could, because your taste changes as you age.
They do.
Absolutely.
No, still not my thing.
Not it.
Still not your jam. I've loved sauerkraut my whole life, so I can imagine, but also it's weirdly sad for me.
I'm fine with it.
I know.
Anyway, dear listeners, let us know what food documentaries have we mentioned that you've seen that you love or hate. What have we not mentioned that we should absolutely fucking see?
I
would love to hear about your food documentary.
Hell yes,
that you want us to look at, because I'm for it. And then what foods? what's the worst thing you've ever eaten? And if you're James's significant other's saying James is not allowed. Too easy.
God damn it. Go to break.
Okay, we're gonna take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. What were we doing?
I don't know. I think maybe we're back. Are we back? I'd like to be back.
Oh damn, Chris.
Can we be back? I'm tired. Okay.
Really, I'm as back as I can be.
And we're back.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Sure are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from that guy, James.
Me. Yeah. Woo.
Okay. Does that mean we're out of Fast Fives?
It does mean we're out of Fast Fives. And this is the Faustian bargain.
I know you're doing that to be a dick, but do you understand the problems I have with doing the thing quickly and repeatedly now?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I've always understood.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I was going to be. But we've already dinged all five times, James. So what's the context?
That's not at all how that works.
Christ. All right.
I was hoping.
Fast five. Question number one. Celebrate or success?
The word was celebrate.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Y'all know that joke, right?
No.
Oh. Man dies, goes up to heaven, and he gets up to heaven, and he sees all of the people there, and in one corner of heaven are all the priests, and they're crying. And he goes over to them, and he's like, what's wrong? And they all tearfully look at him and hold up a Bible and point to a passage and go, the word was celebrate.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Yep. Celebrate or success?
Celebrate or success?
I want to know why I can't have both of those. I celebrate every success. And I succeed every celebration.
I don't feel the need to celebrate every success. Sometimes I just want to succeed and be done with it.
I like at least a low level of celebration with every success. For instance, I have not yet destroyed either of you. And I celebrate that all the time, but on a very low level.
I also celebrate that.
I have, a trophy. Yep. I'm going to go celebrate.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with success. I don't feel the need to make a big fuss about it.
I'm going to go celebrate.
I like celebrating things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. What do we got, James?
Question number two. Lightning or style?
What? Lightning or style?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prefer your wood to be burned? Do you want it to be hit with lightning or do the little weird metal lightninger thing? Or do you like to use a stylus type wood burning pen? This is you, James.
Yeah, I that get very it. Well, oh, yeah. I know. Would be I'm the aware. Context. I've met me.
Yeah. No. So either causing something dark to get lighter, so lightning.
No, that would be lightening.
Yeah. No, I know.
But this is lightning.
This is yes, you. I we're know. Talking about.
I know,
James.
But this is you. So this is the kind of leap you would make.
Ah.
So
good to know.
Or the other way around, where you use a stylus to, like Jenna said, to do it. So, yeah, no.
All right.
I'm going to go style. Just because, like, I like to think I do everything with a modicum of style.
Yeah. The closest I get to styling my hair is putting it up in a ponytail.
Mm.
I am much more likely to walk out of the house with my hair looking like I just got hit by lightning.
That's delightful.
I think that's fair. And accurate. All right, James, what did you pick?
I'm going to choose lightning.
All right.
All right, question number three. Loving or proud?
Loving.
Proud.
I feel that, I mean, I was devoid of any of that in my childhood growing up. But as Jessa was growing up, I always wanted to make sure she felt loved over feeling like she had to earn something from me. So, yeah. I mean, that's not how I feel about everybody else on the planet. But for my daughter, I wanted to make sure she had that. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to choose proud.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Question number four. Have or hope?
Have.
And it is have.
Are you contented?
Have.
Yeah. Are you contented with what you already have? Or do you hope for more? Is a context that seems too easy for this question, but here we go. Very, very firmly believe in the power of hope overall. I think in my darkest rock bottom type moments when I was on welfare or going through certain relationship issues or whatever, the thing that really saw me out of that was the hope and the expectation that things would get better. So I think I'm going to go hope.
I'm going to go with, I would rather have all of the riches that we have in this country versus the hope diamond.
So you want to own this country?
No, just the riches.
I don't want the world. I just want your half.
I mean, but it's capitalism, so you would essentially own this country.
No. Just all of its riches.
Right.
And just the people named
society.
Richard.
Yes.
Salsa wants a lot of dick. You heard it here.
Who doesn't?
You know, I've had a full life already. I'm good.
Something.
Yes.
Hasn't killed anyone today.
Today.
So far.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't all sick, right. I'd come right over there. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I'd have to put on pants, though.
I'm going to say hope for this one. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
All right. Fast five. Question number five. Win or best?
Win or best?
Win or best?
Is it more important that you win or more important that you did your best? Yes.
Win.
I mean, I'd rather try something harder and do my best and not win. Much of the time, it kind of depends on what the stakes are. Mm. But I do like to push myself. Sometimes more than I should. Yeah, I'm going to go best.
I'm also going to go best.
All right. That was it. That was five, right?
Mm-hmm. That is five.
You know what?
All right, tune in next week for the context.
Oh, fuck you.
All right. Thank you so very much to everybody who's listening to the podcast.
I hate everybody
you
here.
Like
you shut your whore mouth. You shut your goddamn whore mouth.
Good.
I know I'm louder than you when we record online like this. So everybody's getting a lot of belches and not hearing you at all. James,
when,
do you have context for us?
When these tracks come to me, they're individual tracks. I can just mute you.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It's going
to
be an interesting episode.
Probably won't be the last.
Hey,
James, do you have context
question number
for
one,
us?
Celebrate your success. Would you rather celebrate every day, like get through each day with little celebrations, giving yourself small gifts or things that you want? Or would you rather save up for something and buy it when you hit a milestone, when you have gotten major success?
Absolutely, the second one.
I treat myself all the time.
Oh, no. Little celebrations all day. What a faff.
I haven't taken a tub soak in a long ass time. Like, there are very tiny little things that I like to do. And it's not self-care. I want to be very clear on this. One of the things that bothers me is when people call doing something nice for yourself self-care. That is not always self-care. Sometimes it's self-care, but it is not always self-care. So if you're like, yeah, I practice self-care and take bubble baths every day. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're spoiling yourself. Doing that as a self-care thing is if you are stressed and need to relieve that stress, doing that for yourself. And, you know, sometimes self-care is, I don't know, taking your goddamn meds. That is taking care of yourself. That is self-care. Yep. It's all circumstantial. One thing is not self-care. Self-care is circumstantial to where you're at in that moment. Anyway, I like bubble baths.
I tend to do small things that will help me to get through the day. Otherwise, I feel like I may not reach the big milestones.
I mean, that is the thing. Like, I don't think a big milestone has ever quite hit for me. Like,
yeah. But yeah, small rewards, like playing Mario over lunch or taking a break to go do something or having that second caffeine or something like that, which admittedly I'm trying to cut down on, but sometimes it's if I want to get through the day, you just have to pick your battles.
I mean, the other thing is, like, when I do something that is like really big as a success, like let's say Twin Cities mm-hmm. Horror Festival completes, all of the things are done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm too fucking tired at the end of that to celebrate in any way, shape, or form. I'm wiped, yo. I'm going to celebrate by going to bed. That's the
best possible celebration.
That is a great celebration.
Oh, you and I celebrate differently. But
sometimes coming home from fest mm-hmm. after a weekend and showering, just like the fastest.
Of
showers and then just like sleep. Throwing yourself into clean sheets. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
it's like climax. But I would say that I am more likely to, you know, get myself a nice lunch if I'm feeling like shit. I'm more likely to get myself a fistful of candy from the store and like stop for a moment and take a photo of the sunset in order to take this particular moment, this particular day.
Sure.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Being heads down all the time makes me feel foggy and
sure.
Awful. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah. All of those little things like that are just so much of a distraction from letting me actually get anything done.
Huh.
They're so tedious. They're such a faff. Oh, no, don't just.
How do you feel about agile methodology, Salsa?
I had a boss.
I don't believe you already.
I had a boss who was one of those bosses that gave you praise for all of the little things. Like daily affirmations and stuff like that, and I hated it. It was so obnoxious because it was just like, "Yeah, you did it. That was great." And I was like, "That's what I'm supposed to do. You hired me to do this job. I am doing this job. This is what I'm. That's why you pay me. You don't need to praise me. Praise me when I do something like." Praiseworthy. Don't praise me when I do the bare minimum of my job. That,
to be fair,
obviously I am not the norm.
I think the best managers actually know their people well enough to know what they're going to respond well to and sure. what they would like as a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Salsa, you would prefer just a heartfelt thank you occasionally.
Yeah. I got a set of bowls. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be bowls. It could have been a thank you, but it was because we did really, really good job on a mm-hmm. tough mm-hmm. client. Like mm-hmm. that was actually praiseworthy as opposed to you did the bare minimum of what we hired you to mm-hmm. do.
If I was James's manager, I would be giving consistent mm-hmm. encouragement.
Yeah, I hate
that. Not necessarily like top tier, like, oh, God, I'm so proud of you for like getting to work on time. Although I would be proud of you for getting to work on time. But, but more things like, hey, thank you for coming in. That really means a lot to me. Thank you for delivering this thing on time. That's really going to help this thing right here. Mm-hmm. Just all of those tiny little bits and pieces. Whereas Salsa at the end of the day was like, hey, thanks for doing a day. That would be the only time I would say something to Salsa on a daily basis. Wait a day.
The phrase, thanks for doing it on time, mm-hmm. just made me cringe. Because it was like, I'm supposed to do it on time.
Well,
that's
the thing
why
is,
it's
so,
on time.
I know that some people time better than others, and it's not definitely. Because they're good or bad or whatever. Yeah. It's just like a mental process, right? Mm-hmm. So some people time, and I appreciate it when somebody who doesn't conceptualize time the same way I do, which is most people, frankly. But when somebody goes mm-hmm. forward and does the extra effort to make sure to hit that thing with whatever challenges or difficulties they have doing that. And I that is more of an effort than mm-hmm. it is for me to do that thing. Yeah. I get that. So, yeah, I appreciate effort. And it's also, if you put more effort into things, I would thank you more.
Ah.
Not going to happen.
I know.
That's
I know.
True. We've met.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what else we got?
Question number two, lightning or style, your favorite movie or video game? Is it your favorite because of the specific individual success being lightning in a bottle, unlikely to ever be recreated, just random happenstance miracle? Or is it because you love that genre and it is, in your opinion, the best of that genre?
My favorite? I mean, honestly, my favorites change so often. It's hard to be like, meh. My favorite movies? Yeah, see, that changes all the time, too. I could tell you what my favorite video game is right now. But that might change in 6 months.
It's true.
And it's not because something newer or better has come along. It's just I've run my time with this particular thing and now I'm on to the next one. Or it's just not hitting my feeling that day. I have a lot of movies that I enjoy. I enjoy 80s mm-hmm. movies. I like Princess Bride and I like Gremlins. They're not the same thing. No. And but which one is my favorite? I don't know. Ask me tomorrow. I'll have a different answer for you.
You did a whole speech on Gremlins.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If we take Gremlins for an example, is it because
sure.
you like the genres that fits into and you feel like that is the best example of those things? Or is it just like completely fucking happenstance happened to be amazing for no planable, explicable reason? It just
here's the problem
happened
that I'm
to have
having.
Everything you like.
Like,
yeah.
Gremlins in and of itself is just a very unique movie overall.
Yeah.
It set the standard for PG-13. We didn't have that before Gremlins, right? So it was very groundbreaking in specific ways. I enjoyed the use of puppets. I enjoyed the horror aspects with the comedy aspects with bits and pieces of little heartfelt moments here and there. And like, there's so much that I like about Gremlins, and it would probably fall more into that lightning thing that you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
But I can't say that it's my favorite movie. One of the things that I love about Princess Bride, it is just so beautifully stylistically what it is. Labyrinth is one of the most 80s movies to ever 80s. Is, right? Like, these are, so like, I have various appreciations for different things, kind of in both of the columns that you have here. I have a harder time making a clear-cut one or t'other on that.
I have very different answers for video games and movies.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's go video games first.
Video games, I have a very... there's a style of video game that I like to play.
Sure.
You know, the slower, more thought-provoking, maybe puzzle, maybe, you know, just patience video games where I've got to think my way through it. Not the run-and-gun action type. That's the style. I prefer a style. Thief, Assassin's Creed, LucasArts adventure games. Those are the styles that I like. With movies, I tend to watch movies in a bubble. I don't brain movies the way a lot of people do. You know,
this is such a good horror movie or whatever.
There's so many times I've had conversations with people and they're like, oh yeah, this movie is, you know, this director has this type of vision. I was like, I have no, you've already lost me. Because directors of movies is something that I've never noticed or paid attention to.
Sure.
And they'll be like, oh, this is a spiritual successor to this type of, this movie. And I was like, I don't connect movies to other movies in those ways. I very much see the movie in front of me, you know, and everything else. I'm very amnesiac about everything else. It's the movie's in front of me. This is my focus. And once it's done, it's done, you know? So I would have to say lightning on that, on the movies.
Okay.
All right.
I like a movie because I liked that movie.
Makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. All right. What do you got next for us?
Loving or proud. People you mentor or train, specifically. Would you rather have them remember you as being the kindest person, or remember you for being the one who helped them to achieve greatness, even if you were tough on them?
I'm absolutely going to be tough on them.
Story checks out.
Yeah.
I can be both kind and accomplish. Like, I don't need to be mean to somebody to get them to a certain point. I can be.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to be mean to them, but I'm not going to coddle them either.
Well, and I feel like I don't think kindness necessarily means coddling, though.
Sure, but you know what you're saying, loving, and that's not. I'm not going to be your father figure.
I've been told I come across as a mother figure, whether I want to or not, and I don't know how I feel about that.
That surprises me. I mean, well, unless some people have real fucked up relationships with their moms.
Well,
some people do have real fucked up.
Wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. When this person talked to me about this, they were like, you know how a mom will sometimes be a little harder or stricter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But you know, we'll get to the at the end of the day, they're doing it out of a kinder, loving position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. This one feels like a thing where I'm just having a hard place finding dichotomy in that.
Sure.
I think sometimes you have to be a little harder to be kind.
Right.
And I always try to go from a place of kindness or caring. So I guess I'm going to lean that way. But like, mm-hmm.
Remembering that the question is not, what kind of mentor do you try to be? The question is,
how do you want to be remembered?
Would you be remembered? How would you...
Right.
Like
yeah. And apparently the answer is both, because that's what a person told me.
This is definitely a game where you can choose A and B. Historically, we've always allowed people to choose both.
I don't feel the need to have my
partner love me. I don't know that
that's accurate. Salsa, that story checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will be proud of them, and I want them to know that I would be proud of them, but I don't feel the need to be loved.
It also kind of depends on the situation, though, too. Like, when I'm doing nonprofit stuff, these are volunteers, they're not getting paid. That's very different from me mentoring somebody at work. You're getting paid to learn from me, you're going to learn from me.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
So, yeah, I think that's possibly an added thing to it.
I was taking the question more about, like, for example, Renaissance Festival. You know, you got a young performer that you've saw some potential in and have taken under the wing and been like, hey, you know, you've got this joke that you do here. If you do this, blah blah blah, you know, you could really kick it up a notch or something like that. That's how I was taking it, and it was more very results based. In my opinion, rather than, that person really loved me and they helped me out.
Again, even with Fest, I had a person, and this is a different person that basically said the same thing as the other person that I was referencing. Where they're like, yeah, you're really mean, but you're also really loving, and appreciate that. And I'm like, no, just mom vibes. Mm-hmm. Prefer auntie vibes. I want to be auntie.
Yep.
But meh.
You should brand that.
Oh, I should. Maybe with a red panda spin.
You could put it on a tee.
No. James, what's the next one?
So, have or hope. Do you already have the success that you want? Or think you can achieve? Or are you hoping that you will achieve something more and greater than you have now?
I've already far exceeded anything that I could have.
It's also who works nine festivals and takes home a grand every weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm living the fucking dream. I've already...
That is, one of roughly 100 people in the world who can do the thing he does.
I've got a both it. I don't know where you were at with this, but like I've already done an awful lot of things I never thought I would be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you not hear me?
Everybody's time traveling. I'm probably
Salsa.
You are not trying time traveling for us, and Jenna is not time traveling for me. So I think it might be you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You back with us?
Yep.
Yay.
Both
okay.
of you suddenly froze up. I was like, oh, Jenna's time traveling. No, James, I'm the one who's time traveling.
Ah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
One out of every three people has a mental illness. Check two friends if they're okay. You're it.
What if all of my friends are...
Yeah, that's not how odds work, James.
That's... I mean, you're odd,
I mean...
But...
Mm. Anyway, what was the last...
Anyway, I was saying that... Saying, yeah. Yeah, I've already, like, I was on welfare 20 years ago, and I am definitely not on welfare now. I'm now making honestly more than many of my friends. So if that's a measure of success, I've definitely hit that. And I went from not doing a lot of theater-based things to doing many theater-based things, and I've had an awful lot of success in that. I'm very proud of my daughter. Like, there's all of these things, and I'm like, yeah, if I died tomorrow, I would not feel like I hadn't achieved things, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, there are still more things that I can achieve. There are still more things I can learn. There's still more to do with my life.
Right.
And so there's always that continual, what is the next thing that I want to learn or do or achieve or become?
I guess so. Then the specific question I would have for you right now is,
mm-hmm.
at this moment, do yep. you have a clear goal that you are moving toward?
Always.
Okay.
But clear goal in what area? I have a very specific costuming piece that I want to be able mm-hmm. to design and put together from basically nothing. That does not use any skills that I have previously developed.
Okay.
So I want to achieve that. That is mm-hmm. a goal that I have. I always have a goal. I always have at least five things I want to accomplish. But then I wouldn't be sad if I didn't get to it, because I feel like I've already accomplished a fuck ton. So, yeah.
Well, and it's okay to feel like you've already done amazing things, but it sounds like you have ideas of places that you want to go and are still moving toward those things. Where,
I feel like the day I stop having goals is the day I die. And I don't think that means I've failed in anything.
That's the project manager in you.
Well, I feel that that should be how most people live their lives. You don't get to a point and stop unless you're dead. You get to a point. You're like, hey, I got to this point. What else can I do with life?
Well, and there have been times where I've discovered that I have a whole new goal that I didn't have before.
Right.
Or that my goal changes because I decide to move away from something that I was working toward.
Exactly.
And that's great. That's fine. And like you said, people are always learning. They're always growing. And when you stop, you're dead. But for example, Salsa has said, you know, when it comes to performance, that he has achieved more than the success that he imagined.
Right.
He's a father of two amazing kids. He's married.
I mean, I don't think he's
to someone
that.
Who puts up with him. But like, I'm giving examples.
I'm married
but Salsa
to a
has basically said,
"Banging wife who puts up with me." Thank you very
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. And Salsa has said that he's achieved greater success than he ever imagined. I'm sure that he's got, you know, the thing that he's working toward. But like,
yeah, it just doesn't...
What prompted the question for me is like, I still feel not just that there is a nebulous something or that I have projects that I'm working on like right now that are sort of the thing that I'm working on right now, but like if I don't get published in my life, if I don't write something that gets published, that is a thing that I want to work toward. That is a thing that I am trying to get into. But that I don't have a clear path to right now. So my project right now is getting to that place where I can get to being published.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Too much going on right now.
Sure.
House wise, everything else wise, to be able to stop and focus on that goal. And,
sure.
But I feel like I have achieved many things similar to what you mentioned. I feel like I have accomplished a lot of my goals. If I died tomorrow, with the exception of never having been published, I feel like I've led a good life. I feel like I've done a lot of things and accomplished much, but I still don't feel like I have achieved my dreams.
I don't ever want to achieve my dreams.
Okay.
I want to achieve many things. Mm-hmm. I want to hit accomplishment. Once my dreams become reality, they're now mm-hmm. reality and they're no longer dreams. I want to always be dreaming.
You heard it here first, folks. Jenna cannot be satisfied.
Yep.
No, absolutely not.
Jenna practices the ABDs.
Always
be dreaming.
Yeah. That's good. Probably why I'm having problems with this. I'm like, I don't understand why you would stop trying to come up with new things. All right.
I'm always trying new things.
I think we should probably keep going because already spent like almost an hour on this, if I'm not wrong. All right. So
win or best. This is another one where the context came up in the discussion. Which would you find more appealing, to win a contest or a match of something, and knowing that maybe you didn't do your best, but you won, or to lose, but know that you absolutely did your best?
Win.
And, yeah, I mean, I will always take a win, mm-hmm. but sure. I prefer being like, nope, I did the best I can for whatever outcome.
No, win.
All right.
I would choose best. Yeah. For me, even a win is not. It kind of turns to ash in my mouth, unless I know that I really tried.
I mean, sometimes I just need the win for like whatever reason, and I don't have to put a lot of effort into it. I just need to have that win. I don't need to put in my all to have a conversation with my boss to get the raise. I'll just take the fucking raise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sometimes a win doesn't necessitate best. And I'm okay with that.
In a race, for example, as a metaphor, I can come in 1 second before second place, or I can come 5 minutes before second place. It's still a win either way.
Sure.
But 1 second is, I didn't have to work as hard. I'll do that. I'll do the bare minimum to win. Absolutely. I don't need to go balls to the wall. I'll do what needs to be done. And call.
I think I speak for the audience in being not shocked.
Right. Yeah. It depends on the circumstances and what it is that I'm trying to be about, honestly. Yeah.
When I go for a world record here, either this fall or next fall, yes, I'm going to try to do absolutely everything I can. But if I don't attain the record, then it was fucking pointless.
I don't know that it was pointless. Yeah, you may feel that way. For me, the win is pointless if I... barring circumstances where, you know, like I've gotten a raise and, you know, like we can always think of circumstances where some specific thing is flip-flopped or whatever, but especially in a competition or a match against someone, if I feel like I didn't do my best, regardless of the level of effort, like you don't always have to be, you know, heart rate 189, pulling 5,000 pounds behind you, dragging in at the last second, crossing the finish line, in order for it to be your best. But like in that circumstance, in a fencing bout, if I felt like I fucked up, that's what I'm going to focus on. Mm. Or if I feel like I did something dirty and underhanded, or if I feel like somebody gave up, and they were just like, yeah, just take it. Just, you know, just win. For me, that hurts so much. And I would rather know that I fought cleanly, that I fought well, that I did my best, even if it wasn't hard, that I did my best.
I think the other thing that I ascribe to is that I'm almost always doing my best at any given point in time. And that's going to look different at different times. Maybe my best fight one day is going to look different than my best fight the next day. Yeah. If I personally phone it in, that might be the best I have to give that day. Right? Maybe it's been a long day. Maybe I have a different thing going on in my head. Maybe I'm just like, nah, not today, not this moment, not whatever. It may still be the best that I can do in that moment. And so I don't really beat myself up over that kind of thing overall. I'm still going to give things my best. And that's just going to look different circumstantially. So, yeah. And I agree with Salsa's point. If he doesn't get the world record, it was fucking pointless. Because that is the specific goal that he has for that thing. Maybe he learns some other skills. Maybe he's, I don't know, makes a new best friend. Whatever. But, like, if the attempt is to make that record and he doesn't make it, doesn't matter. Those are all other nice things to have happen along the way, but it's not the goal.
Well, I mean, the goal for all Olympians is to get a gold medal.
Right. Maybe. Some Olympians might just be like, yeah, I just want to see what I can do. And that's fine. Okay. But, like, Salsa's not competing with another person for this specific thing in that specific moment. That's not how Guinness records work. There might be a number to top, or a whatever to top, but like he's not fighting somebody else for this. He's just trying to break a record. Either you do or you don't. There's not a lot of gray area in that one.
There is no try.
Exactly.
Whereas,
anyway,
yeah.
I was about to say, yeah, I'm.
Let's
serious.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, that's okay. We've hammered this to death. Yeah.
Was that five?
That is five.
That was five.
Oh, okay. Is it? Okay.
I believe
we talked too long. I couldn't remember what number we were on.
I couldn't remember either. Okay. I thought we were on four, so I was really so pushing. Did I.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. Does anybody have a shout out?
I want to give a shout out to Park Nicollet Urgent Care.
Okay.
Every urgent care gets super full and super busy, and they were very good at just letting us know where things were at. They have wonderful facilities. They have a little like app you can sign in now so that you don't have to like back and forth. They've got masks and stations and all the rest of that. And like, even though it was a long wait, it was a relatively pleasant experience overall. So. And thanks for X-raying my boyfriend.
Aww.
I'm going to give my shout out to Cirque du Soleil. I don't know if you've heard, but they're pretty good at what they do.
I have heard that, yeah.
Well, truth in advertising.
I am I'm going to give my shout out to everyone who starts weird game shows and web series and passion projects and shit like that, that we get to indulge in before they even hit it big. That they just decide to do the thing and put some fucking weird content out there as their specific hyper focus. Thanks. It means a lot. A lot of people love it.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Nope.
More information. I have the Facebook events for Fuck 2023 on the 29th and 30th of December. Send the year out with a bang your mom, I guess.
I mean, I think we collectively have a thing to plug.
Yeah. Is it what I was just about to say?
Probably.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you do it. And if it's not it, then I'll call you on it.
If you go to Discord right now, as of 20 minutes ago, Stefan has posted the post for the Secret Santa, for Steam Secret Santa. I have it pinned. So if, you know, other things happen before you listen to this, go to the pinned messages for the general chat, and there you will see his link. Or it's not a link, it's a react. You react to it, and he'll get you into the group. So, but yeah, if you want to be part of that Steam Secret Santa, please go to Discord and react to Stefan's post.
Woo!
Is that what you were going to?
Yep, that was it exactly.
Awesome. Sweet. Great minds think alike.
And so do we.
Yep. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye. Love you. Bye bye bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to James for the Fast Five. Thank you to Stefan.
Meandering. For, yep. Five.
Thank you to Stefan for putting together that Steam Secret Santa.
Absolutely.
Hey, yeah. Christmas is coming. If you want Christmas presents, go to the AON store and get some swag.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can get a dinosaur's t-shirt, or you can get a really cool you know, crest t-shirt. They're all pretty cool stuff, and I'm sure that whoever you give these gifts to will first say, "What the hell is this?" But I'm sure they will like it when their torso is warm with a t-shirt or a sticker.
Oh, those hoodies are so good.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.